Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better. Even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing.
And make your business sizzle. Can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing, online marketing, social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business?
Hey, peeps, I am uber excited. We have a real SEO expert that we're going to be talking to today. His name is Steve Wiedemann, and he works at Wiedemann Consulting Group. And if you don't know what SEO, it stands for Search Engine Optimization. So, Steve, man, how are you doing today?
Good morning. Fantastic. How are you?
I'm outstanding. So, how did you go from the Army to mousing around with SEO?
That's a great question. I think when you're an infantryman and you're out in the field, Texas, Georgia, so anywhere in the world, and you realize you're in, you know, 5 degree to 15 degree weather, and you're like, I could be sitting in a motor pool right now, freezing, or I can be in an office and, you know, staying warm. I think that was probably the main driver for me was, do I want to stay in the military and be cold and away from family, or do I want to find something where I feel like there's going to be a future? And I think in the 90s, when the internet, you know, really started to become popular, the whole world sort of gravitated to the web, and I joined the bandwagon.
Cool. So how did you get into, you know, you come out of the Army and you started getting into web and stuff like that? I mean, what was your journey? What happened?
Sure. Well, I think like a lot of webmasters back in the late 90s, you know, found an interest in it. I was attracted to it because I saw the vision of where the internet was going. I figured eventually, 10, 20 years down the road, every business would have to have a website, and they'd be competing against thousands of other websites that all sell the same product or service. And so for me, you know, being sort of an overachiever and hyper-competitive, I just wanted to be the best at it. So I started helping in my free time. I helped local businesses, DJs, limousine drivers, accountants, anyone I could get my hands on. I said, hey, can I do work on your website for you? And they go, for what? For free. I want to get the experience. And so I did, I don't know, probably 200-300 hours of free work for local businesses before I really sort of established myself as a, you know, full webmaster.
SEO is one of those kind of things that, you know, I like to call it the hocus pocus behind the scenes. And, you know, some people are very, you know, closed about what they tell people and say, hey, you know, I've got this magic button that I'm going to press and all of a sudden I'm going to make you number one on Google. And everybody gets those all the time. I mean, if you have a website with a form, you're constantly getting, hey, you want more traffic, you want all this other stuff. And they're SEO experts from across the world. So explain to my audience, you know, what it means in general to do SEO, especially since, and we've all gone through this, we've gone through the Google machinations of the different algorithms that they use, Penguin, Panda, you know, all that other stuff. Yeah, it's just, it's constantly changing and evolving. So kind of give a broad brush overview of that.
Sure. No, and that's a good question, too. There really isn't any mystery to SEO at all. It's three parts, right? It's relevance. Do you have a page that's relevant for the keyword the user searched for? It's authority and visibility. Are other websites mentioning your name when they're talking about the subject matter? And it's user behavior. It's what users are actually doing when they perform a search. Are they choosing you and staying on your website? Or are they going back to Google and choosing a different result over time? So I think having those three things be part of your regular exercise of what you do for internet marketing. I think if you think about patterns as opposed to set it, forget it, then you're going to be in great shape. If every month you're challenging your web team to make your page better than the competing pages for the given array of search terms that you're going after, then you're setting yourself up for success. If every month your outreach team and your PR team are out there really promoting your brand and talking about the services that you offer, Google can figure out on your website which page is the most relevant based on how people are searching, you know, for your name and for certain words. And if you're testing your titles and your descriptions and your featured snippets and your structured data to really provide the best possible result within Google so that users are clicking on you more often and staying on your website, then you're in good shape. I think the misconception is that you can just kind of do it once and sit back, you know, while your competitors continue to grind. You can't. You have to, every month, you have to keep, you know, pushing and testing and exploring improving your bounce rates, improving your conversion rates. And I think that's the secret sauce, is just dedicating, you know, a team to managing those particular tasks. I can go through more of them in a minute. And really challenging your team to be better every month, you know, using those different metrics like bounce and conversion and things that really help you know that the user is getting what they want. Anyway, that's the way I look at SEO. It's not, you know, just really technical, crazy, hard, difficult science, mathematical work. It's just a lot of really focusing on those three areas: my relevancy, my popularity, and the user behavior signals that Google pays attention to over time.
See, and I love that. And that really simplifies it. And I think to take it just another step forward, one of the things that you're talking about is content marketing, which is one of the things that I preach all the time. It's you've got to not only update, you know, just updating the SEO in the background of your website isn't necessarily as popular today as going in and actually changing the content on your pages, doing blog posts, adding content that can be found and searched, and all of that stuff. So talk about the content marketing aspect of SEO.
It's a great question. And there's two parts to marketing. There is your persuasive or customer attracting content, which generally people don't link to. If you're a shopping cart, that might be, or a store, that might be your product detail page, your category. If you're lead generation, it might be your car accident attorney page. That page is very important to showing up in search results, but people don't generally link to persuasive content. Then there's the marketing content, or as you put it, the content marketing, and that's solving problems that your customers or your industry might have. For us at Wiedemann Consulting Group, we try to come up with studies to better understand signals that search engines use in ranking, and then we share that information on our blog, and then we share it within the search community and social websites on inbound.org, which is an industry website. And if it's useful and the industry thinks this is really helpful and they write up their own articles, they'll reference us. And if they reference us, that's the signal that search engines will use, but particularly Google, who uses links as a primary ranking signal, to know that we're authoritative, you know, in a particular area. So I think that's really important. And one thing I was mentioning before about ratios, right? What's the ratio of how we're improving things? What's the ratio of good content versus low quality content? You've heard that phrase before. If it's not going to be the absolute best, don't do it at all. So don't do blog posts just for the sake of having new content on your website. Don't get bought into this, you know, freshness means you'll rank better. If your content's not going to solve the problem better than the competing pages, then don't even do it. So we use tools like, for the content marketing side, like Storybase. If you go to Storybase or answerthepublic.com, either one of those websites, you can put in a keyword related to your industry, and it's going to spit out some questions, and it'll spit out some search volume for those questions. For, say, public storage, one of the challenges we had was, how do we find out what our potential customers are asking about? And so we put in the word storage, and it turns out people were searching for questions like how to store your refrigerator, how to store or move a piano, how to store glassware. All of those specific phrases have a high volume of people searching for them every month. So our plan was to take all of those ideas, organize them by which group of keywords that have the same user intent have the most search volume, prioritize those pages, create some amazing, fun, engaging videos, and then make sure that you have the best answer. And if you can, put in some really short checklists within that list, maybe 6 or 7 bullets and very short answer, not long sentence bullets. Because what will happen is if people start curating that and copying that list as they're creating their version of an answer, Google's going to see that snippet. They're going to see, wow, this particular list is used on a lot of websites. Now the next time somebody goes to a Google search result, or they're using voice search or assistant or Google Home, maybe even, you know, some of the Alexa and other voice tools, and they ask a question, the answer is going to spit out your list, and it's going to say, according to your brand, here's the 5 steps you need to do to move a piano or store a refrigerator. That, to me, is really the essence of content marketing, is creating something that people are searching for in your industry or your customers, getting other people to curate and share that content naturally, if it's beneficial to something that they've already created, And then, you know, over time, you'll start to see more and more natural links pointing to your website, Google crawling your website more often because it's finding all these great links and references. And over time, those customer attracting pages will indirectly start moving up in rank because you've got this internal linking schema that happens. So between finding what people are asking, putting the best answer up on your webpage, maybe doing a little bit of outreach to see if your content can benefit or augment somebody else's, and then making sure your persuasive page is linked to from that content, you're going to be in great shape. 6 to 12 months down the road, all of those customer tracking pages should be on the first page of Google if you've made your page better and you've attracted links using really effective content marketing.
See, one of the things that you said that really stuck out to me is, you know, 6 to 12 months. This does not happen overnight. And that's what, you know, everybody's saying, okay, I'm just going to pay this one company, you know, X amount of dollars are going to get me to number one on Google and I'm going to sell a bunch of stuff next week. And that's just not the way it works. You know, right? Yeah, exactly. So what are some of the common pitfalls? And the reason I say this is because, I mean, I know a lot of people that have been taken advantage by SEO companies, and they've, you know, they've paid a lot of money and not seen the desired results. They haven't gotten everything they want. There's all these emails that we're constantly getting in our contact us form saying, we're going to make you number one on Google, you know, and of course, you know, a lot of them are overseas companies that can easily take advantage of you. What are some of the pitfalls that people need to avoid when they're thinking about doing SEO for their business?
Sure. Well, I think it starts with making sure that you know that you don't need a third-party agency to be able to do SEO. You can work with an agency that has some proven results, provided that they're willing to be 100% transparent in what they're recommending and that you get to be 100% engaged in what they're working on. If they're going to call it their IP or their, you know, their secret sauce, then they're not really a good SEO agency. They're somebody who might be doing something that could actually get you in trouble because they don't want to share their techniques with you. Things like purchasing links for the sake of ranking or using private blog networks to try to spam search results or doing anything that violates search engine webmaster guidelines. I think when you're starting to plan your SEO strategy for the year, the very first thing, if you're going to look at having a vendor working with you, the very first thing you need to focus on is transparency. Let's sit down together, build out a strategy, tell us what part we need to participate in, what part you're going to participate in, and how we're going to measure our results. You know, there are a lot of things that agencies do to try to shortcut. And you know, I've always believed in what Jim Rohn said when it comes to success, is that you don't have to do extraordinary things to be successful. You only have to do ordinary things extraordinarily well. And instead of really just taking the time, you know, to put 3 or 4 days into a really helpful page around your product or service, some of the agencies instead will go out and just purchase links through Fiverr for, you know, $5 and create all this spam. And yeah, you'll see some short-term, you know, results from it, and then you'll spend $20,000 trying to clean it all up. The sites that you're submitting to actually make more money on you going back to them and asking them to remove the links these days than they do actually selling them to you. So just kind of something to think about is be transparent. You know, we got mentioned last year in Fortune magazine as a game changer because our search roadmap when we work with our clients is built so that we can be a wingman. We actually work with the client's own assets and try to focus on a strategy that is at a pace they feel comfortable with, because a client's going to have to be involved in the content process. You know, we're going to want to talk to their customers and their clients, and we'll want to do all these things together, you know, because it's really them doing the work and us just sort of providing the, you know, the advice and the strategy and the consultancy. So that's my perspective on you know, what to do, what not to do when it comes to planning for search for the year.
Awesome. Great advice. So, Steve, you've got a way for my peeps to get their arms around this a little bit better. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. So one of the things that a lot of our clients come to us for is strategy. They've got a writer, you know, somebody who can pick up the phone and do some outreach. They've got a webmaster, but they don't really have a solid strategy or checklist of what they should be working on for the year. So something that we've put together is this essentials strategy. What are some things that I can focus on this year and really make a dent in SEO? And maybe it's next 6 months, and you know I'm able to accomplish the task from that audit, that strategy, and then you jump into something a little bit more robust. So we do offer this essentials SEO strategy that we're doing this year, and it's the same strategy that we use with our enterprise clients such as Skechers, and indirectly through some of our partners, agencies, and businesses like Public Storage and, you know, Meineke Car Care Centers. These are the same audit strategies that we put together for these brands, and we've been able to really sum it up to the most important items around tech, content, and visibility, so that at least you have a roadmap to work with, you know, for 2017.
Very cool. So lots of great stuff, man. You dropped an incredible amount of knowledge bombs on my peeps, and I really appreciate it. So if people wanted to get a hold of you, Steve, what is the best way for them to do that?
Sure. Well, they can go to our site, Wiedemann.com. We're also on Twitter, just Twitter / Wiedemann, Wiedemann. Same thing on Facebook, just Facebook.com/Wiedemann. And of course, our phone number's, you know, all over the internet, just 562-732-4417. Just Google us, and we're everywhere. And we're phone people, so we love talking on the phone versus email. So if you're comfortable with it, you know, give us a call. We're happy to do a free strategy session with you, and you know, see where some of your pain points are, and maybe we can make a difference.
Sounds great, man. Well, hey, this has been a pleasure, man. You've definitely over-delivered some sizzling hot ideas that I think people can start to look at their website and their content strategy, their SEO strategy, and really kind of take it to another level. So, man, thanks for sharing all this today.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.